God, now Caboose is gone.
You know what? We're starting an episode just like this. You know, we're in episode 32, and people are now discovering we have a show notes now. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, but you know who gets kudos? Steve and Aaron. You know, you guys, Aaron, you could start off the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm glad to be back talking some games. The weather's getting warmer. We're slowly creeping into that summer season.
Yes.
I can taste the game reveals on the horizon, you know?
I don't think you want to taste any gamers, though. Right?
No. The game reveals.
Oh, the game reveals.
Not okay. The people who play them.
Okay. I heard gamers. I was like,
not the gamers.
Yeah, I don't think you want any of that. I don't
mean no, because gamers, they just
certainly smell them as the summer weather.
No, gamers, they just taste like sweat and G Fuel.
Don't forget Mountain Dew and Doritos, too.
Oh, true. Or, you know,
Cold red. That's right.
Cold red.
Gotta be. I need my double XP.
Yes, absolutely. Crazy, man. Crazy. Steve Saylor.
You found
the link. What's going on?
I found the link. Yeah, I finally know that there's a show notes and what we can talk about today. I just wing it every single week, y'all. That's how
I roll.
This guy. You remind me of those kids who's a come by school, didn't study anything, and the day they get like a 98. I'm like, how the hell?
Why do you gotta call me out like that, Marcel?
Were you in my class? Did you do that?
I just am good at what I do. That's what that is. That's a transferable skill. I'm good. Doing good. I'm doing well. Just coming off of WrestleMania weekend. That was fun. I'm still saying it. Best WrestleMania ever. Best WrestleMania ever.
Undertaker is the locker room leader. It makes sense, too. You know, and they have rivalries.
Stone Cold,
but it's like it doesn't matter.
What would get a bigger pop? The dong or the glass break?
Both.
Both. It would have been fine either way.
What happened if it was Stone Cold using Undertaker's like the sound effect and then but it was Stone Cold instead?
Switch.
Yeah. It was like a double. It was like the glass broke and then the dong.
Yeah.
And then Undertaker was in the ring and Stone Cold was on the ring.
Yeah. I was waiting for like Rikishi. I did it for The Rock, you know?
Nah, I think they're going to do Stone Cold for the people. If they're going to do Stone Cold, I think they're going to do something that, you know, where like that actually like they can be able to get a proper good match with The Rock, because teasing it where he could have just come out and taken down The Rock and that would have been it would have basically been a like a short sell, like, you know what, like we want, like everyone would have wanted more guaranteed if Stone Cold came out and it would have been as quick as they did with Undertaker. If that was supposed to be the place where he was supposed to come out, people would have been like, oh man, only one move and that's all we got, man, I want him. So I think that if Stone Cold's gonna come back, they're gonna have it so that we're gonna get a proper match with him and The Rock again, like, so.
I don't know if Stone Cold can move that way.
I don't think he can.
There were reports that WWE reached out to Stone Cold with an offer, so I'm assuming he was supposed to be in that.
Sure, but they reach out to people all the time, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's like locked in.
Here's what I think. I think we should start a WWE podcast, and I think Steve V should be the host of it.
Yeah,
just because.
Yes.
Just because he knows the least.
Yeah.
That would be incredibly funny to hear him trying to intro it.
He's a champion.
That's true. You're right.
Undefeated. Actually. Undefeated Steve V.
I think that makes me qualified.
I think so.
I mean, he's the Royal Rumble party winner. So,
there you go.
Yeah, one and done. I'm never attending another one of Riley's.
No.
You got to keep that streak alive.
Stop while you're ahead. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
What else is going on, Steve V? What's going on? Steve Monday.
Well, you know what? Usually, after last week's, I was a little scared to reveal anything personal, because then we'd end up on another 20-minute tirade of how Camille likes to sweat while she sleeps. But she's not here this week. I'm actually comfortable saying
a clip. I'm like, what's wrong with her?
I don't know.
Why?
It was bizarre. I didn't know that me saying that I was just tired that day was going to devolve into something like that. But no, I'm doing really well. It's been a busy week, but Caboots, you're talking about the weather outside. I'm actually, you know, just trying to, I'm itching to get out there. I'm itching to touch some
grass. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I know we got a lot to talk about in terms of games, and there's so much entertainment to watch, but I'm itching to get outside for a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that.
We didn't really have a winter, did we?
No.
No?
But it sucked.
That kind of like, there was barely any snow at all. Yeah. Like it maybe for like a day or two, and then that was kind of really it. But yeah, we didn't get like, I was expecting us to get at least two huge like winter storms by the time that, you know, this time or year comes around. But
it's, it's that classic bamboozle where they'll say, oh, this is going to be the worst winter ever, and then it's just not,
nothing happened.
Yeah. So
that iconic bamboozle,
yeah, right? Yeah.
The
bean switch. Yes.
The climate change bamboozle.
It's just nice to see some sun, you know, like we haven't seen the sun in a whole oh my time. Goodness.
Well, I mean, Tuesday yesterday, I don't know, or when Monday did we get any sun at all? Like
well, that's true. Actually, the one day it would have counted. Yeah,
you know, the sunlight came out afterwards. I'm like, oh, great, thanks. You know,
yeah. Literally yeah. afterwards. Yeah,
yeah, couldn't believe it. Riley, what's going on?
Not too much. Yeah, just coming off WrestleMania weekend. Missed Stone Cold. He should have been there. But other than that, really good weekend. So yeah, I feel like I missed a couple of podcasts. I missed the Camille Dishon about sweating while she sleeps, which is like an odd choice, but right, it was a good episode to miss, if anything. So I'm back and I'm ready to talk games this week.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's talk about a game that you won't be playing. Dead Space 2 Remake reportedly shelved.
That was great. That was incredible.
So due to, and I'm blaming everyone who didn't buy this game right now, because we're not getting Dead Space 2. It's been reportedly shelved due to the lack of poor sales of the first remake. Who's upset about this? Who's
mad? That's shame. I want to know names here.
I want to know
who didn't buy it. Yeah,
right, because now. Well, no, here's the thing.
Steve?
Should we? No. Hold on. Should we be blaming the fans, or should we be blaming EA for setting high sales expectations?
I'm going to say both. I'm going to say blaming everyone because I'm just upset. Yeah.
I'm upset too, 100%. But I kept saying, like, everyone says, oh, it's low sales. I'm like, I think it sold pretty well, but it probably just didn't sell the way that EA wanted. Which
I'm with Steve on this.
Adds the whole, like, you know, C-suite not knowing what the heck is going on and how much money they can actually be able to get and sustain, like, you know, the whole sustainability and all that stuff. So that's my take.
Yeah, there are also some conflicting reports about it. Like, one of the editor-in-chiefs for the news section, IGN, is disputing that it was ever planned, Dead Space 2.
So,
Jeff Grubb is saying it was planned and had a code name, and EA also said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, EA has put out a statement saying, like, the whole report is fake. And then a news editor is saying, yeah, it wasn't planned. But then Jeff Grubb is doubling down and saying it was planned, and in fact, it had a code name.
Yeah, so the report, like you said, IGN apparently has reported, they got a comment that said there's no validity to the story. Jeff Grubb ended up responding saying, I give you my permission to believe EA if you want, but whenever a company says, quote unquote, that isn't true, but they don't specify which part of the story they're talking about, well, yeah, Dead Space 2 was definitely being planned, it had a code name, and they aren't making it now. I'll be honest, I, as somebody especially who's been covering like Spider-Man games and has been like following like a lot of PlayStation related stuff, Jeff Grubb, like, he doesn't miss. The dude's got good sources, and he usually doesn't like to talk unless he's pretty sure about what he's reporting, or at least he knows that whatever he's heard has validity to it.
Right.
And I think, like, it just makes sense that at one point or another they were going to maybe do a Dead Space 2 remake. And if it didn't sell as well, or if it didn't meet those high expectations, like you were saying, Steve, then that's the reason why EA was like, we're just going to can it, unfortunately. To be honest, I thought more than that was the fact that, like, okay, maybe it didn't sell a whole ton, but it was like one of the best reviewed games that year. And I thought, at least for me, that maybe, okay, it didn't hit the projections, but the critical reception would have been enough for EA to be like, okay, let's gamble on a second one. Because now the word of mouth might be there for people to say, okay, we got to jump in and try this out.
It was up for an award, wasn't it?
It did get
nominated for something at the Game Awards.
Sound design?
Best audio design. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so it got nominated for something at the Game Awards, and it probably would have been nominated for a lot more if it had come out towards like the second half of the year. Yeah.
It did get nominated for
any other year.
It did get nominated.
Truly, yeah,
very true.
It did get nominated for the New York Game Awards for Freedom Tower Award for Best Remake. It didn't win. It was just nominated, and then it was nominated for Action Game of the Year at the DICE Awards, but did not win.
Oh, okay. So I mean, tons of acclaim.
I was trying to look it up. There's no concrete word on what sales were, but there were like a bunch of like aggregate polls just to get like an estimate.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of people are landing around 2 million, which
I kept seeing that too. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is essentially what double what the original 2007's Dead Space had within the first 6 months of its release. So it's not great by any stretch of the imagination, but for a remake, a survival horror game coming out in 2023, I think 2 million, if that's the case, too bad.
Is there any information on what the budget was for this game?
I'm looking, I'm trying to find it right now.
No, I'm not seeing a ton of financials on this, to be honest.
So I mean, I guess more than Alan Wake 2.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
The weird thing is that, and Caboose, you're talking about, you know, how Jeff Grubb doesn't miss and everything. I'm 100% in the belief that he heard, you know, factual information from a credible source, because he usually doesn't, you know, just talk.
He didn't say nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he does miss from every once in a while. But the thing that really really makes me convinced that this was a fact, or they were at least trying to plan this at some point, is the fact that Dead Space Remake put so much extra polish or extra little bits in there that didn't really need to be in there. The fact that they brought in a voice actor for Isaac Clarke is a huge indicator for me that, hey, we're going to use this as...
And it was the voice actor for him,
too. Yeah, he was a voice actor for him for like throughout the series, so it wasn't like it was too out of the ordinary. And yeah, I was kind of trying to find as well, like, what kind of like information about it, like just from the sales. It said it was like in the US, or at least that the year, or sorry, the month it came out in January, it was second place behind Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which makes sense because, I mean, it's COD. And then it's topped the game charts in the UK, became one of the best-selling horror IPs in the country. But they did say, although sales were lower than the Callisto Protocol, Dead Space fell to third and sixth place in the following months. So, I mean, it, like... and then you say about Jeff Grubb, like, essentially for him, I sort of see, like, okay, whenever he talks about stuff like this, it's accurate at the time that he says it. Like, the time that he heard it, like, things change, plans change here and there. That's why people are looking at him as like him being like 100% accurate or not. It doesn't really matter. Like, at the time when, like, I believe when Jeff heard about it, he, like, that was accurate at the time. It just, you know, things could have changed.
In what world do you think it'll change in the sense that we will get a Dead Space 2 remake?
See, that's what I'm afraid of, and you know what I'm saying right now. I think it
depends on how well Iron Man does.
Not only that,
I think but I think they're trying to come up with excuses for why it didn't. Right? Like, why they're not doing it.
So, Stevie, you just brought up the point that I was thinking of too. Is that, I mean, above all else, there's all these actual reports now that a lot of the folks at Motive who worked on the Dead Space remake are now working on the Battlefield franchise. Whereas the other half of that studio is now like deep into development on their Iron Man game.
Yeah.
Apparently the report as well is that they just hit a major milestone for the game. The development is going smoothly. It's creating a good foundation for the rest of the...
Just for some additional... It's not even just a report. They came out and said it.
They said it. Exactly.
The president of the studio was like, hey, we should be proud of this.
This is not like inside info moment. Or something.
No, right? Exactly.
Them straight up saying it at EA. They're like, hey, this is what's happening. But... So it doesn't fare well for a Dead Space 2 remake.
It does and it doesn't, because to me, I feel like that side of the studio that is working on Iron Man, they could be in a very good position to come out, have a major success on their hands and say, okay, our next product is going to be Dead Space 2. The issue, the thing that really scares me right now is the Call of Duty-fication that I'm seeing right now with EA Motive, where why is this super talented studio now being used as a support studio like every Activision studio is on Call of Duty? Why do these you know, studio conglomerates feel the need to bring in these other these studios for support? It's like, just leave these guys alone. They did, like, Motive is a super talented team. I mean, I'm gonna go to bat for them because they're Canadian as well, but they're super talented. They don't really miss. Just leave them alone. Like, just stop touching it. Like, if Battlefield's in that big of a struggle right now, support them some other way. Don't be mixing the
pot. In general, I was just surprised that they were like really trying to push for more Battlefield. Because, like, is it really a lot? Anybody really playing Battlefield right now?
They need it, though.
And in general, too, I mean, like, this is just another example in a long line of examples of just, like, these video game budgets, man, especially these days, it's ballooned quite high. And, yeah, sales expectations and projections, they balloon with that budget, you know? So when a game costs as much as I'm assuming something like the Dead Space remake would have costed, yeah, EA's like, we got to hit these targets in order for it to be, at the very least, profitable, let alone for it to make sense for us to make a sequel or a follow-up. Yeah. I can't even imagine what those could be like for that Iron Man game. You know, like, there's going to be a lot of pressure on that to sell well, to perform well in terms of the critical reception. I have faith in it. I mean, I think Motive is a very talented studio. And just from the sounds of it, everything that they've spoken outwardly about for that game, it sounds like they're an incredibly passionate team for the project, which is awesome. Like, I feel like we need a good, like, open world Iron Man game. And if they're using Unreal Engine 5 technology too, after what we saw from that Marvel 1943 game, it could be like visually stunning. But again, just in general, like, man, these video game budgets just keep getting crazier and crazier, and that just creates more and more unrealistic expectations for what they could do in terms of sales.
And I mean, a nice mirror to that is just knowing the reports that came out about the licensing agreement between Marvel and Insomniac, and how much of a big cost it is for Insomniac to hold on to that license, and what Marvel kind of has as an expectation. I can only assume that a similar deal is in EA's pocket right now, though. I mean, that's all speculation, right?
Yeah, well, on that point, EA, like, bailed on the Star Wars project that they were making.
They bailed on several Star Wars projects, to be honest.
Yeah, so, like, these deals are, like, for something like Insomniac, which is a first party releasing on PlayStation, they don't have to pay the fee to be on that console, you know, like, because they're a first party studio. So, you're retaining more money right off the hop there, because you can pay for the licensing fee, but, like, you're not paying for the right to sell it on the storefront.
Right.
So that's a good point. These first party IPs, if it's Indiana Jones, if it's Spider-Man 2, if it's Nintendo publishing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, like, these things make more sense if they're locked to the platforms, because the platform holder doesn't have to pay the 30% or whatever it is.
Yeah,
very true.
I wonder if they were going to be able to recoup some of that just by virtue of EA Play.
I don't think that's been a factor for a while, because I mean it's been folded into Game Pass already, so
that's
I don't know, and I don't think makes enough money to even, like, because it's what, like, $5 a month or something like that, even like, if even that. But if it's included in, like, Game Pass Ultimate, I wonder that too. But also, like, I in that sort of speculation station, I kind of wonder too. I wonder if maybe EA was sort of thinking that this might be their Resident Evil, like, being able to go in and remake some of those games, because I just looked it up, and like, Resident Evil, like the Resident Evil 2 remake, this is from an article from last year in August, it was the best-selling Resident Evil game ever, with 12.6 million cumulative lifetime sales across console and PC. And I wonder if that's sort of the benchmark that they were sort of hoping for, so that they can basically create a brand new basically IP for them of these Dead Space remakes, because they know they had a catalog where they could just do that, and maybe with lesser budgets basically churn out the same amount of money. So if it didn't sell well, that's why I'm still leaning into the EA had high expectations and it didn't hit their expectations. It probably sold, as we looked at it, like, probably around that 2 million mark, like, which is really good for any game, honestly. Right. And as you said,
a lot of, like, games that would kill to have.
Exactly. Yeah. It is for a game that is, like, arguably, you know, 15 years old at least. And also it's a remake of that game. I think you're already kind of, like, you're hitting at a high level of expectation of sales. So as we talked about way at the beginning of this, it's like, it could be both, not a lot of sales, but also I think it just could be EA.
yeah I think it also is worth looking at when it released, which was, you know, early in the year, right in dead smack in the middle between Callisto Protocol and then Resident Evil 4. So I think if a lot of people are coming into the year and they're saying, hey, you know, I've only got the budget for one nostalgic remake, which one is it going to be? Probably a lot of people are going to go Resident Evil 4. Or maybe they went with Callisto Protocol the month before in December, and they're like, ah, I don't really like this. I don't need a game that's almost exactly the same. Like,
you know, I wonder if Callisto Protocol really did some damage just from not being like great or received all that well. I wonder if it did a lot of damage just for like the general audience or like the casual gamer to be like, well, you know, like, that last Dead Space looking game wasn't very good. Like, I don't know if I want to get the Dead Space remake.
Yeah.
You know, you got to wonder.
Many factors, many factors. All right. Number two is the Triple I Initiative. Basically a great showcase, 45 minutes of some great indie games. And the reason why we're bringing this up is because there's going to be one game that we're going to be talking about, but we're going to save that to the end. But Slay of the Spire is a fantastic game. Definitely need to check that out. There's a second one coming out. Risk of Rain 2 is getting a free update as well. There's Dino Lords, some medieval style of dinosaur game as well. You know, only indie games can pull that off. Like, this is the best about indie games.
You that's like the this ultimate my idea. Indie, like just slap, smash two words in together, and that's your game.
I just want to make exactly. Vampire's Survivors is getting Contra DLC. I don't know the two guys' names. Bibby and Billy, I don't know their names are, but anyway, they're going to be in the basically in the game there as well. Never Alone 2 is getting let me see here. Is Never Alone is kind of like this is one WiiWare game that I can't remember that it was like you and a wolf was walking around, but anyway, it's something similar to that. Another cozy game.
Oh, which I think you talking about, but I can't remember game from the
2014.
Name. Yeah.
10 years in the making.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is, I remember seeing that game for like a long time. I remember it was like a WiiWare game or supposed to be like a Wii U game or something like that. But that is finally coming out as well. I'm sure it'll make people cry. That's for sure. Darkest Dungeons 2 is getting a free game mode coming soon. Pal World is getting an arena teaser. So Pal World's still getting strong. Pokemon Stadium. It's finally out. It's finally out. Some
Super Pal Bros Brawl.
I'm waiting for Pal World Bank to come out where you can like carry your buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
Pal World Sleep and everything. Exactly. I like that. Cataclysmos, another announcement as well. Apparently it's like a Lego style building game is coming out July 16th. A roguelike Prince of Persia game made by the people by Dead Cells team? What?
Hold up.
What? Yeah.
What is happening here? Steve V, you played this today. There's a demo out right now, apparently.
No. So this was a behind closed doors, hands-on demo that I did last week. Exclusive.
Exclusive.
Yeah, I got to play 30 minutes of it. And yeah, if this comes from Evil Empire, who had a hand in building Dead Cells. And this is exactly kind of what you expect. This is Dead Cells, but just kind of make it Prince of Persia. It's taking the best parts of both games, putting them in a blender, and out comes this game. Right now, they're going to be launching it in early access only on Steam next month, which is kind of exciting. But in terms of just the gameplay itself, it's a 2D roguelite, so you're a new prince. It has nothing to do with The Lost Crown, which came out earlier this year. Yeah. You're going through levels, you're doing your runs, you have
the animation looks so smooth.
It looks so good.
Super nice. Range attack and a melee attack, and basically it's a roguelite. So you're killing enemies just to build up like accumulate currency, which you can buy or find upgrades for your weapons, get to a boss. The only issue that I ran into with my 30-minute demo is I don't really know what kind of like permanent state or permanent weapon that, like, what are you bringing back with you to make yourself more powerful that when you die, you get like a little more of a progressive boost there for your next run. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that is, but in terms of the base gameplay, it plays really well.
I mean, it looks, again, the I'm just looking at the gameplay right now from this trailer, like the animations. Just looks so smooth, man.
Yeah, it has this really cool effect where it is a 2D plane, but you can wall run on the wall.
Oh, okay.
Up, and then you can also do like a slam down movement as well on enemies. It's
cool.
I love that because it's like it, you could see like footsteps on the walls. Of, I like, saw, I can tell. Yeah, it looks. There's so many cool things awesome, about it. Man.
Yeah, and there's also like where there's a like a beam that comes out of the wall, and enemies will perch up there, and you can you know hit them off and jump on it, swing up to the next like level of the map there. I think it's a really cool game, and the thing that I love is the fact that Ubisoft is now getting more comfortable in letting other studios kind of play with their toys. I mean, it's a similar thing with, you know, when they themselves got to play with Starlink and bring over Star Fox, or you see with other studios with Cadence of Hyrule. It's like, let studios play with different properties. I love that. So I hope a lot of people go out and support this. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bummed, admittedly, being a console guy, that it's Steam exclusive. I wish that this was coming out in some sort of fashion on a Switch, especially. I would love to play this on the handheld.
It'd be really good on Switch,
Well, it is early access right now, so I think it's like the potential it could be going out on consoles soon. I think they're just trying to be able to get it out as in people's hands as best as possible, which makes sense within...
You still can play it handled if it's a Steam exclusive.
True, true.
Exactly. Put it on your ROG. Put it on your.
That's how I'm gonna play it, boys. There you go.
Sorry, but continue, Steve. I cut you off.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I cut you off. You go ahead.
Oh no! I was just saying, like, there's a lot of cool things. Like, even just looking at the access, like, without knowing any of the accessibility in it, just watching the gameplay. I think IGN has like an 11-minute gameplay video of looks like the first level. And I could already tell that there's some like cool like little accessibility things in there that is reminiscent of like so even Evil Empire, even though they didn't have a direct they weren't directly involved with the huge accessibility update that was made for Dead Cells. They did you could tell that there was influences from that. There is there's enemy outlines, which looks pretty cool. Like whenever there's a bomb being thrown, there's like it's very visually indicated as where the blast radius is, like the whole footsteps on the walls, which is pretty cool. And it just like it looks like that you could build like everything sort of stands out from the environment. Like I love like the whole pastel desert kind of earthy sort of tones we got in the background, but like each character, like even the enemies are like super bright and just kind of and super high contrast, which is really cool. So, and knowing Ubisoft's penchant for accessibility too, like I want to play this like right now. So give it into my hands.
The one thing I'll say, and I know some of us here have played The Lost Crown, enjoyed it and everything, it screwed me up so much jumping into this game quickly after playing The Lost Crown, where I tried to play it the exact same way. And I was like, the timing's off. To dodge, especially, you have to be super careful. Like, you almost have to dodge before the enemy starts their animation. Otherwise, you're just going to get locked into the,
Into
the dodge animation. You're going to get hit. You're going to take damage. And then, your run's kind of down Schitt's Creek.
Sorry, you go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Riley, please.
I was just gonna say I find it interesting that they're releasing two Prince of Persia games like side scrollers so closely together.
I know.
Like that's like really
nothing for a long time.
Well, because originally wasn't Lost Crown got delayed.
Yes, true. It
was supposed to come out last year.
That's fair.
So
it's still interesting, like just like they're so close, even if they're let's say they're 6-7 months more apart, like it'd still be like, oh that's
it's
feels recent.
Yeah.
Then it shouldn't be, so early of access. It could just be access.
Where's Rayman at, man? I want my Rayman.
So that's what this is about.
That's where we know.
It has nothing to do with two Prince of Persia games coming out close.
I do find it a little odd. But to your point, Steve, you're playing the other one, you go this one, you're like, this is not the same at all.
Not at all. It took me out of the 30 minutes I played, the first 10 minutes I was like, ooh, I'm just not playing this the way I should be. So I had to slow myself down. I had to kind of play to the game's rules versus what I knew from The Lost Crown. But otherwise, very good game. The boss battle that kind of ended the demo destroyed me twice in a row. And to the point where I talked to the PR afterwards, I was like, So that boss battle, huh? Is that supposed to be unfair? They're like, we haven't seen a single person beat it yet.
Oh, fun. Okay, all right. Well, I'm gonna have to
challenge accepted.
I think largely that has to do with just the fact that we've only played for 30 minutes. It takes a while to kind of learn the enemy patterns and get used to all the mechanics and stuff like that. So I don't think it's necessarily an indicator of how difficult the game's going to be. It's just, hey, you might want to play this game a little longer and get used to it before you go into the first boss battle.
Yeah, I mean, all you had to do to convince me on this was just say, hey, the guys who made Dead Cells are making like a Prince of Persia,
another game,
roguelike. I'm good. Sold.
Wow, that's wild. Well, you know, if you think you got enough of Prince of Persia news, well, guess what? You'll have to wait longer for another one because Ubisoft Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake is reportedly getting an overhaul. Once again, I'm not talking about the first overhaul. No, it's happening again right now. Yes, another remake over. They literally turned the Sands of Time again. Like, oh no, let's do this again, please. This is not the game we want. Everything, yeah. So this one is apparently being done by Ubisoft Montreal, which apparently had something. Now they're remaking it again. So this game was supposed to come out like 2021. Like, what's happening here? Like, I don't.
I have no idea. It just seems like this is kind of like the redheaded stepchild of Ubisoft right now.
This goes beyond like development hell. This is like,
it's no one. I think it's like nightmare, I think it's just man. no one knows how to be, like how to be able to make this, whether it's a full on remake or a remaster or what.
Because I think its origins were like, it looked like a remaster more than a remake initially, when it was shown off. So.
Yep.
Sounds like they're going like the RE2 route, which is like a full blown remake, which is cool in theory.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe because they knew they had these two projects, like the two Prince of Persia projects kind of in the works, that they're like, oh, we need to rethink our strategy for Prince of Persia right now. Because I would like with the way that people, I think, reacted to the trailer from SGF last year for Lost Crown, I think people, like, I think that Ubisoft was like looking at that to see what the reaction was, to potentially see, okay, these are the, like, we need to focus on these projects, or they probably thought like, hey, we have something here in these two, whether it's the Rogue or Lost Crown, we're in a pretty good spot right now. We don't want to screw this up. So either it's in development hell, no one can figure out what the heck is going on, or they're trying to be able to add that is into their current Prince of Persia strategy. Because I mean, if these two games that are coming out right now are any indication that, hey, Prince of Persia is back, I think the way that sort of Ubisoft's reputation right now is not super great, with the amount of games that we've had over the past while that have not really hit. Except for this one, it's like, I think they need a win, and they're being safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was going to say, apparently the voice actor for Peter Parker is no longer involved with it either as well. It was the original Prince in the last game as well. Go ahead.
Steve. I didn't know that. Yuri, you're talking about?
Yep. Yuri. Yep.
Yuri Lintel.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yep.
Hmm. I was just going to quickly chime in and say, you know, out of everything we know about that's happening with Prince of Persia, this is the least interesting project in my opinion.
True.
Like,
yeah,
not wrong. Come out, don't come out, I don't care. I would rather almost Ubisoft just handle smaller projects and maybe even lean heavy into the franchise's origins of just, hey, this exists solely as a 2D kind of Metroidvania thing. Do a Lost Crown sequel, do another roguelike.
Rayman crossover.
Maybe,
Metroidvania, Rayman.
Skull and Bones 2. That's what we need. Yeah.
Because I think at its core, the identity of Prince of Persia does conflict with Assassin's Creed at this point. Like, how do you make Assassin's Creed and Prince of Persia unique, special?
It's true.
Yeah.
In today's day and age, I think a lot of people are already sick of Assassin's Creed to some certain extent. So what are you going to do to Prince of Persia to make it?
I mean, Japan's next. I'm not sick of it
yet. That one's going to be a big one. But you know what? I feel like what we just recently had with Rise of the Ronin, like any games that are open world or anything like that, that set themselves within that sort of similar setting, it's all going up against Ghost of Tsushima. that's in a way, it's got to be your blueprint, especially for Ubisoft. Yeah. That has got to be the game that you're looking at the most to be like, how do we kind of emulate the same sort of success that was found from that game.
And I think it's you snooze, you lose, kind of like
pretty much.
They're in such a precarious situation with that game, especially because we're getting the PC port for Ghost of Tsushima. There's inevitably going to be a sequel around the
100%. Yep.
I saw it when I put out all my stuff for Rise of the Ronin. 90% of it was, this isn't Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima better. And it's like, this is just going to happen with Assassin's Creed Red. I'm sorry. Like, I just struggle to think of how Ubisoft can elevate Assassin's Creed to make it better than Ghost of Tsushima.
What'll especially
people wanted them to do Japan forever, too. Like, they've had the opportunity to do this for so long, and they never did.
What'll especially be tough, too, is, like, in a lot of ways, Assassin's Creed and its gameplay and its visuals and its kind of overall, like, style... Like, Ghost of Tsushima could almost feel like it was an Assassin's Creed game in another life.
I think it's kind of how it was described. A lot of people sort of thought, like, it's the Assassin's Creed in Japan that we all wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, that's why, like, Rise of the Ronin at least has the benefit of it plays like a completely different game. You know, like, it is top to bottom a different game. It just has a similar setting. Whereas Assassin's Creed Red that's like a much easier comparison to make. Mm-hmm. And I have no clue how they'd be able to go toe-to-toe with something like Ghost of Tsushima. And like you said, Steve V, a Ghost 2 announcement is, like, inevitable. If the rumors are true and we're getting a PlayStation showcase next month, I'd imagine that we're going to be getting some sort of an announcement for that during a showcase. And then it's just like, all right, a new benchmark's about to be set for how you make games set in feudal Japan. So, you know, again, I don't know. I don't know.
But also, don't forget that
what they're going to do with it.
Also, don't forget about that mobile game, Assassin's Creed Jade, that's supposed to be taking place in China. So
That's right. I mean,
I'm actually looking forward to that one.
Mobile game, you know, so like that doesn't necessarily have to be. You don't have to make it comparison.
All it has to be is good.
That's it.
That's a win for everyone.
Yeah.
I think it's it. Yeah. I just hope that you don't have to have like an iPhone 15 in order to be able to play it. Like, you can be able to play it on pretty much anything. Cause I'm like, I don't want to spend on that much. Yeah. Cause I know they did that for, what was it? Mirage.
Mirage needs.
We joked about like a Prince of Persia Rayman, but like talking about like what could be something that revitalizes the Prince of Persia franchise. Could they just do like Assassin's Creed? Sure. Assassin's Creed, Prince of Persia. Like, just
they kind of have
did right? with Mirage. Done,
like, Mirage
in the way, true. Yeah, in a lot of ways,
they did some of the side scrolling, like, or the platformer Assassin's Creed games, right? Yeah. Like back in the day.
Yeah.
They did. That was like a PSP game,
wasn't it?
They're consoles. I have them all on my Xbox.
They had console ones as well. They had like
were they Prince of Persia like in spirit, or it's like, no, this is literally like
side-scrolling.
Side-scrolling.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Prince of Persia, like, 2D, cool. 2.5D. Yeah, what were they called? Assassins?
Pretty sure it's like, somehow I got them all on my Ubisoft Connect account. I'm like, I have 40 Ubisoft games.
So here's the question then, because we've got, we got Star Wars Outlaws, which we saw the trailer for this week as well. Yeah. We're coming up on Ubisoft Forward on June 10th, I think, is what they said. Like, what are y'all expecting to see at Ubisoft Forward? Are we just gonna are we gonna see any new like Assassin's Creed surprises?
Some goggles.
It's the three, you know, the three legged goggles.
I'll cry.
All I'm expecting to see. Like,
I'll cry.
I am so emotionally tapped out by Ubisoft blueballing me with this franchise. There's an entire DLC in Far Cry. There's goggles in Assassin's Creed.
Rainbow Six,
mobile game. They have dangled Sam Fisher in my goddamn face for a decade.
But did you guys see Ubi Toronto? They changed their header and
they did. And that's what I mean. Here's the thing, y'all, for those listening, Ubisoft Toronto is making this. They're about 10 to 15 minutes away from all of us. That's how much of a blue balls this is hurting Steve.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah.
The fact that it's that close to him.
Yeah.
So.
But I feel like when it comes to the UB Forward, like that's got to be the big one. You know, it has been.
I would hope so.
Long enough.
Like, I have imagined this every single E3 period. Lights go down. It's a black screen, and all you hear is. and then the three dots, and that's all they need. That's
all you want.
You don't have to. No,
I feel like I need a bit more.
I need a bit more after that.
Well, at this point, they've already announced that they're working on something, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like it is. It is about time to get at the very least like a cinematic trailer to say
I want like a
this
date.
Is what the game's
not
called.
Like a, not like a final date, but like a year date.
I think we'll get like a 2025
something like that.
That's it. You know, like it's coming next year. You know,
so I don't need gameplay. I just need that like get the fuck hype moment.
Yeah.
It's like here it is, Splinter Cell. It's real. It's a tangible thing that's being worked on.
Rather than
like job postings and stuff like that. And then boom, 2025, hit it with that, and then next year they can come out and be like, here's exactly what it's going
to
be.
I even think too that like you can lend credit to that being something we can expect from the UB forward by them doing the story trailer and the release date announcement and everything for Star Wars Outlaws now. You know, like they're getting ahead of it. They're like, this is when the game's coming out. Here's a story trailer. Here's a good like in-depth look at that, so that they save like the big surprise for the UB forward being Splinter Cell.
You know, we're just gonna get
my
Just
question
Dance.
For you.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right. Actually, that'll be
that's all we're getting.
I'll close out the cluster. Yeah,
John Bernthal comes out with his dog again, and they just start doing Just Dance
again. You know.
My question though is, now that we have the release date for Star Wars Outlaw, I'm kind of curious. That's an August release. What's going to be their holiday title if it's not Splinter Cell?
True.
Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's right.
You think it'll be Assassin's Creed? Because there were reports that I think it got delayed to next year.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I think Assassin's Creed will definitely be there. Yeah.
Well, it depends, because they've had two, they have Jade and Code Red, right? And then it was also
the Hex, whatever.
Yeah. So they got like three Assassin's Creed projects that they announced. So it could be either one of those.
Wasn't Hex like their like umbrella of like keeping all the games?
No, that's Unity. Or not Unity. Infinite. Infinite. No, wait. What am I?
Infinity.
Yes, yeah.
So financial reports say that it's expected to arrive by March 2025. Red. And then they have Hex coming out next, and then Infinity. Holy shit, these names! Infinity is supposed to come out afterwards and kind of just bridge the gap, kind of be the umbrella over all of these games, including Jade.
I don't remember the last Assassin's Creed game to come out in spring. That's weird.
Well, it says July, so I mean, it could be a fall thing. I don't know. The fact is that we haven't heard anything and it hasn't leaked so far. That's the big thing. Ubisoft always leaks their Assassin's Creed games months in advance.
True. I think the thing too is that I don't know if we would have a game that would be in sort of like as a winter release, because we've had a year or two now where they've barely had like one or two games actually coming out. I think last year it was Mirage, Avatar. And
Avatar was a big holiday one,
and that was kind of really it. Like when did Sparks of Hope come out? Like, was that like 2022? Because I remember that was like I think the only Ubisoft game that released that year.
It was Sparks 2022 of Hope. And then they had their like DLC. A bunch of DLC released throughout 2023. Yeah.
So it just
included Rayman.
Yeah, but like, so I think that they're now kind of like ramping up those, you know, projects that kind of were either affected by COVID or just, you know, rethinking of a lot of different things to try to be able to bring them back on top. Because so far this year we've had, you know, Skull and Bones, you know, given the fact that it's not, you know, a huge release for them, but still, hey, they got it out the door. I think that should be applauded at least a little bit. They had Prince of Persia, they're going to have The Rogue, and then we're going to have Star Wars Outlaws.
Two unreleased products that are announced that are supposedly coming soon, which is X Defiant and then The Division Heartland. I could see Heartland being a fall thing. It's the free to play game.
I think
where's Far Cry at?
There was that report
that's gonna be
late last year about the new one that's in development. I don't think it's supposed to come out for at least
That's a while.
No, I don't think it's this year, but I'm just curious. Like what's that team? What's the last thing that team did?
Far Cry team?
Which is
they move around.
Yeah.
Well, this six was like Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like the 20th anniversary. Okay. You would think they would have done something.
Maybe something. I don't know.
I mean, a lot of people sort of said that Avatar was very much Far Cry-esque.
Maybe that was Avatar game.
So,
Blue Avatar.
So I guess that
Blue Far Cry, yeah. What was everyone's thoughts about Star Wars, by the way, since we, it was, you know, they were hyping. I thought we were going to get like a long 10-minute video. It was like 2 minutes. Here you go. Date. Bye. You know,
story trailer. That's it. Yeah.
You know,
but that's all they said they were going to get. Yeah. You're just gonna,
I know. I thought that, but like usually you get like 10 minutes or something like, oh, you, this is what's going to happen. But I don't know. Anyway.
What, again, that might be that they're saving the deep dive for the UB Forward. To give us like a full gameplay demo, although they, well, I mean, they already kind of give us
they a, did put a trailer breakdown. Yeah.
So I honestly, like, I was fine with it. I thought it looked cool. I'm honestly just stoked for this game, just for the fact that, like you were saying, Steve, we're just the same way where we were saying, like, Ubisoft's finally starting to branch out and allow some other people to play around and stuff. Like, we're also getting the same thing from like Lucasfilm. Like, they're not just strictly relying on EA to make Star Wars games. And so that's why I'm hyped, just for that fact alone.
Yeah, I thought it looked good. I'm interested in the story, especially knowing where it takes place in the timeline. They're also talking about, you know, Crimson Dawn in there. Might as well get back to that storyline.
I saw too that one of the characters from the Han Solo spinoff movie
character,
she's in the game. That's cool.
Not the actress though.
Oh, okay, but the
not,
character.
Yeah, not Amelia Clark, right?
I see. Yeah, that's cool. That's so cool.
That's cool. I think Nyx, the little furry fuzzy guy, that'll be
great.
Great.
They're gonna sell a whole lot of toys.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's GTA in space.
Basically,
that's kind of what I'm looking forward to.
First by Riley. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like,
in space.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. Like, it just, you know, I think. In a sense, like, it's the first time we're seeing really Ubisoft kind of like full, like, I'm excluding Avatar to a degree, because like, it's just the first time we're seeing them at least, you know, jump into the Star Wars universe. And I don't know, I'm just, yeah, I just, this one I'm excited for. I really do want to be able to play it. It looks like it's gonna, like, it's fit in that right timeline of the Star Wars universe. Like, it's set between Empire and Return of the Jedi. So we, you know, I don't know what kind of cameos we're going to get, but we did sort of see a little bit of the Han Solo and Carbonite, sort of, so we're going to have that. But, yeah, I'm just, yeah, this one's going to hit for me. I was actually more surprised about the release date being in August. Yeah. I would have thought that would have been sometime in the fall, but, or maybe early 2025, but it being coming out earlier than that kind of took me by surprise.
Which makes me think that there is going to be something else. And I don't know, like, yeah. I know Steve, you kind of went with Division Heartland, but I think that if Ubisoft well positions that game, that could be a big fall title for them, especially being free to play. They can kind of eat into that market and kind of, you know, drive a lot of player attraction. I for one, love The Division. I'm eager for more, but the free to play thing is kind of, I need to be sold on that a little more.
Yeah, same here as well. I really enjoy those games. Division 2, almost had a great time with it. I really had a great time with X Defiant as well. I'm surprised it hasn't come out. Like, it was a really fun shooter game. So I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't that the one shocked. From the problematic, like, San Francisco studio that I heard? Is that the one? Like, because there was, because it was the San Francisco studio that was working on it. I heard like some weird thing of like, it's not like, it may not be the best place from X Defiant.
I don't know. I'll be totally honest. I'll do a little research after the show, because I'd like to know.
I don't know why I'm not playing this game right now, you know? So what's going on?
Those demos were great.
Good. Yeah. They felt really smooth. And it kind of brought me back before, like, you know, Call of Duty, even like what it is now and everything. The latest one, I really enjoyed that one. But even before that, because there was at least like two Call of Duty that came out during that time. I'm like, man, I'd rather play X Defiant instead. It was really good.
Yep.
They felt really smooth. They're good. So that's pretty much it. Steve, you want to mention Fallout very quickly?
Yeah. Is there anyone that's not sold on this show yet?
I'm so hyped for tonight.
I'm pretty so excited. Hyped.
Yeah.
Good, because you guys should be. have you seen it all? I've seen all 8 episodes. This show fucking rips.
Is it like Last of Us good?
I love it.
In terms of adaptations? I will say, if anyone came up to me and they're like, I like this more than The Last of Us, I would be like, I understand you. And I will not argue with that whatsoever.
Wow.
Whoa.
Personally, personally, I like The Last of Us a little more. I could wake up tomorrow and be like, no, I like Fallout more today.
Even just saying a little more it's must mean close. That the quality is that close.
For Jeez. Different reasons. Wow. I mean, you're not getting like Bill and Frank pull at your heartstrings, make you feel existential dread.
No.
But Fallout, the TV series, I could not believe how well they adapted everything, whether it's the sound design, the small little noises like of the vault doors going up and down, the Pip-Boy.
People were nervous for a second there, too. I remember there was like some clips that came out and people were like, oh, I don't know. Like, is this capturing the vibe? But I guess everyone can take a sigh of relief.
Yes, I mean, like, there's the tilting scale, you know, you have Last of Us on one side, you have Halo on the other, maybe throw in Twisted Metal or Uncharted somewhere in there.
Yeah.
This is all the way down to The Last of Us, in my opinion. I think it can make me go from laughing, like guttural laughing one moment, and then it's just sheer brutality the next, and just perfect.
Damn. This just gets me all the more excited for what Amazon's gonna do with God of War, because
that's exactly what I said. I
as like, long as they got the right creatives attached to the God of War project, man, we are in such good hands.
And I feel like a lot of the like the kudos and pass on the back need to go to the creative team, because I think that they really Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy, who came over from Westworld, you can definitely see a lot of inspiration being over here. I was like, oof, HBO, you guys really screwed up letting these guys go.
Really
bad. I was like, holy hell.
Damn.
What a loss for HBO. But yeah, they understood the assignment. 20 minutes into the first episode, I was like, ooh, you're still a little skeptical. You're still a little trepidatious or whatever. I sunk back into my seat. I was like, these guys are cooking. We know exactly, like, it's in good hands now.
Okay.
And I was just long for the ride for
eight episodes. I can't believe they're doing the full season drop. I kind of wish that they
do.
Space out.
And not to, no spoilers or anything like that, but there are moments in the show I wasn't really expecting where credits roll, like credits start, and I was like, ooh, I want to have a discussion with friends right now. Like, it's not even, I want to start the next episode.
Benefited from
I want to go into
week,
like
man.
The Discord with you guys. I want to, you know, go grab some drinks and dinner and be like, yo, did you see how Fallout, the last episode of Fallout ended? Like, blah, 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 blah. But the binge model, I guess a lot of people are going to get through it. Get through it as fast as you can. I will say that.
That's what I'm most worried about, is there's a lot of shows that I'm watching, a lot of shows that I'm catching up on. And so, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to binge through it in like a day. And I definitely don't want to get spoiled on anything.
Same.
So, yeah, it really bums me out that they're not following the week to week on this one.
I wish they did.
It sounds like it would have benefited. Hell, like,
even for like content creation, like with all X-Men, you could be like, man, X-Men episode the other day. So good, like, and have like a deep dive about
that's
it.
That's the
you know?
Thing, right? And I think that's in general, like, don't get me wrong, there was a time, obviously, from back one where it's like, yeah, the binge mode is pretty good. I get to just watch as many, like, there's never like a cliffhanger episode where I'm like, ah, I gotta wait a week, you know? But like, the more that I think about it and the more that I've like now experienced it with some big shows, and especially now with something like X-Men 97, that's a part of the fun, right? Like, you watch a huge, like, tentpole episode for the season. You jump online to see what everyone else is thinking. You watch these breakdowns that give you like all those things that you missed. You know, you talk about it with your friends. There's all this excitement. Whereas instead, it'll be like, Steve's watched 5 episodes. I've only watched 3. Something big happens in episode 5. Not much happens in the first 3. So we're just sitting there like, yeah, it's a good show. Like, I mean, there's just not as much conversations as generated from there. But I'm really, really hyped to check it out tonight.
I don't know if I can be able to check it out tonight, because I've got the stream to do, but I definitely am looking forward to be able to watch this now, knowing like everyone is just like raving about the show. But I do agree with you. It's like, I do miss the idea of like event viewing, like way back in like several decades ago when way before streaming was even a thing. There was the like anytime that there was like a mini series on TV, it was event viewing. Like when it became super popular. I mean, case in point, like obviously the Roots back in the 80s, what was it, or late 70s, early 80s. 80s, I think. But it was like, that was event viewing because people were like excited to see what the next episode was going to be like. And then, you know, TV shows, I think it was kind of harder to be able to create that event viewing because you had 23 up to about 30 episodes a season, depending on how far back you go. So the fact that, like, in a sense, these series that we're getting, and that fact that these seasons are like 8 to 10 episodes long, we're kind of, I agree. I think I like the event viewing of this, where it's week to week. We get to talk about fun. All it adds more to the fun. It adds the water cooler moment. It spreads out the marketing of the show a lot more.
That's what I was gonna say too. Yeah, it's like if you're like a higher up at Amazon, like it's just so much better for the buzz of your show. People are talking about it for how many episodes of season one? Eight episodes.
Yeah,
people are talking about it for 2 months. People are talking about Fallout. You know,
and that's locked into a subscription as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, what were they thinking?
That's the thing is, I honestly don't think they knew what they were sitting on. I honestly don't think that they knew.
It just didn't have the confidence in it, I guess.
Yeah. Until maybe even like a week or two ago, because they moved up the release date. It was originally supposed to come out this Friday. True. They moved it up to Thursday. Yeah. And 2 days ago, they were like, oh no, it's going to come out Wednesday. We're going to do a special premiere and everything. Yeah. So I wonder if like test audiences were like, no, you're sitting on a 9.5, a 10 right now. And they're like, oh, maybe we should get it out earlier.
Hopefully they get a season two and then they switch it back to a week to week model. And then obviously again, like it just it's for me more than anything. I'm just happy this was great because it gives me so much hope for God of War. Damn. Like I was so nervous when I heard that Prime is doing God of War, because obviously, I mean, everyone loves, especially the newer games that they've done. And I'm just really, really excited to see now what they're going to do with that.
I'm really interested. How happy is Todd right now?
Oh,
so he's like, I told you guys. Yeah, I told you.
I mean, he was he was at the premiere in LA last night.
I saw pictures.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
He was apparently in the gamer group because a lot of our gamer friends were basically taking pictures with him. Yeah. And it was at the TCL Theater too, which I was surprised by.
It was really cool.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, like that's a big theater to have that premiere in. So
and also
when you're talking about like kind of releasing week to week, it's like, it's not like, you know, Amazon hasn't done that before. Like they did that with The Boys, they did that with Invincible, so I don't know, I just think it was like that just seemed like a weird decision. But you're right, I think even referencing God of War, I think because Steve, I saw your review of it that you posted like on social. It's like it's not tied into a specific story from the Fallout games. It's not like it's following the game, like the story of the games, like The Last of Us is, right?
World. Yeah.
Just the world. Yeah.
The world. Yeah.
That is the thing that is getting me excited about God of War. It's like, okay, if they can just, you know, set a game in the God of War universe where it's not, you know, tied to a specific like Ragnarok or God of War or the 2018 or the previous ones, it's just like it's its own story, maybe telling a little bit of the first one, I don't know, but it's like, I think, if they can set a story in that world, I would be very excited for it.
It's based on the Norse one?
Okay.
Yeah, the Norse versions.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, so he's already done all the fucked up shit. now he's like kind of like,
I do agree with the general public where I really would have loved for them to just start from square one, hopefully, at least again we don't know what that project's going to look like, but at least like, give me like an episode of young Kratos
or just flashbacks.
Yes,
you got to see that moment. Yes. You have to see
just from the Greek
ash
stuff,
yeah, covering his body and everything. You have
to need it. I need it. Yes. Oh man, I hope they nail it. The casting is going to be the most important thing too for that show. But I'm glad, again, I'm really glad to hear the Fallout's good. I'm very excited to check it out tonight. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're going to be able to binge it. So everybody get through that first season.
Everyone here to promise me,
man. I hate that.
Episode 8. You got to DM me. You got to DM me.
I got you. But you know what? I think I'm particularly happy too that it's not necessarily based on any of the games, because I'm not like an avid Fallout player. Like I've played the games before, but I'm not like a diehard Fallout fan.
Same.
So I'm glad that I can just kind of go in and enjoy it on its own merits. It's an original story.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think for me,
Since Fallout 3, I've adored this franchise. I've adored the lore, especially. I get a lot of that, but for people who might have been turned off by it, simply the gameplay of those games, you can come into this and have an absolute blast because, again, it doesn't have the baggage of three 100-plus hour games behind it.
Right.
It's just, here's the story. We're giving you all the information. And even Easter eggs, they don't feel like Easter eggs. They feel like naturally built into this universe. So it's not like they're dangling keys in front of your face, be like, haha, you remember this one reference. It's like, no, this is a reference that exists in the universe. That's why they're bringing it up.
Cool.
Answer me two things.
Sure.
A, do we get Nuka-Cola?
Yes.
And two, how's our boy Walton Goggins?
This is personally, I love our boy WG. Give him the goddamn Emmy for his role in this.
Damn.
You scared me for a second. The way you said that.
No, you scared me for a second.
Yeah. I love Walton Goggins, but
he's the weakest part of the show. Just saying.
He doesn't miss. And in this, he's having the most fun, and I think it's his most compelling role for many reasons. And he's just having such a blast with this that I'm like, give him an award for this one. He carries this show. Not to take away from anyone else in the cast, they all do an incredible job. But anytime Walton Goggins is on screen, I'm like, I want more of this. This is why I'm here.
Yeah, that one clip that they had of the Vaulty going up against him, like that one clip, and it's like you just like what was it like a little stream
a drop into a bucket full of drugs,
full of drugs. I'm like, that is such a good line. I'm like, if there's more of that, perfect.
He has so many fucking good lines. Yeah, like they knew exactly how to treat him.
Awesome, Caboose, take us home, man. I know you had to head out.
Yeah. I'm still like reeling after the latest episode of X-Men 97. Mm-hmm. And I've been just so like ingrained X-Men everything. I've been collecting the prequel comics for X-Men 97. I've been doing a lot of that. Awesome. So I got some reading to do in this upcoming week, which I'm hyped about. I'm hyped to check out Fallout. I'm going to be watching that brand new movie tonight, Civil War. I don't know if anyone's hyped for it.
I'm excited for that movie.
Yeah, like it's gonna be a busy week, but also I'm just counting down, man. Like May, we got the Marvel Rivals beta coming. I'm very excited to get my hands on that game. And Summer Game Fest is like on the horizon. We're creeping up closer to it. Mm-hmm. I'm just hyped for that summer game reveal season. You know, it's like, it's the best time of year. So I'm really, really excited for that. But outside of that, you can check me out on youtube.com/Caboose and then Twitter and Instagram @CabooseEK. Oh yeah, and Ermac coming MK1 this month.
Oh damn.
Oh, right. Yeah.
All right. I forgot they saw DLC coming up. Homelander. Homelander's in me now. Yeah, look, that's wild.
No, I know. We still gotta get Homelander.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Steve Saylor.
Yeah, hi. So tonight, by the time this episode goes out, you can be able to listen to or watch episode 2 of Dungeons and Disabled. Awesome. You can be able to catch up on both of those. Pretty quick. It's like about an hour, 15 minutes-ish for both episodes. I'm really excited for this one. We're doing a watch party tonight on stream, and it's been such a blast. I already have my idea for the next adventure, and it's something that I have not seen in the D&D space before, but it's a cool idea, and I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out a way to mold it into D&D. So anyway, check out dungeonsanddisableds.com or just search for Dungeons and Disableds on podcast services or on YouTube, you can also follow me at Steve Saylor pretty much everywhere. I'm gonna be streaming a lot more on Twitch, so come join me there. I'm gonna be making a lot more content over there and streaming a lot more games and accessibility stuff over there too. So that's me.
Awesome. Steve V.
I reinstalled Fallout 3 on my Xbox because I just want to exist in this world.
Okay.
So I'm going to be doing that for a while. Yeah, like Caboose was saying, there's a whole bunch of games on the horizon that I'm looking forward to, so it's kind of just a countdown for that. So I figured, why not just go back to the DC, the Wasteland, and dip my toes back in there. But you guys can follow me all across the internet at SVigvari.
Awesome. Riley, what's going on, man?
Not too much. I mean, it's pretty quiet right now, which I'm trying to take in because May and June are going to be bananas. So, So I mean, still some good releases.
Really?
We have Solar Blade coming up and stuff, but Yeah, yeah. Bananas is not a hint. I don't, okay, I'm just saying.
What do you know?
I'm just saying.
What do you know? Yeah.
But no, I'm just enjoying the time to kind of, you know, take it in, be like, probably enjoy Fallout tonight, and then we gear up for gaming news season, which is exciting. Gamer Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Best time of the year. For me, I'm busy. I'm still playing my Yakuza playthrough every Saturday. I'm on Yakuza 2 right now. I had to take a little breaks here and there, but I've been playing a lot of My GM on 2K24. I'm hooked on that game. Playing like the extreme mode with the other, like you put it with bots and everything. Man, they cheat. Like they will steal roster from you. They will like sabotage. Like Teddy Long's whooping my ass right now. It's pissing me off right now. Yeah, he's him and a goddamned Undertaker in every damn time. You know, yeah, he's robbing me, man. Like it's crazy. But it's a good time. Definitely check out that movie if you have the game. It's a lot of fun actually. Just give it like a little trial playing as a GM. But we'll see you all here next week with more gaming news. Hopefully. No more games get canceled or something, whatever. Anyway, take care, everyone.